We're going to go to a very different climate now. We're going to go to the place that is traditionally dingy. It has, you know, very little sunlight. They can't even seem to grow decent tomatoes over there. You know, I'm talking about the British Isles, don't you? And when we had Danny was at Valente, our regular foodie and food writer who comes onto afternoons. We were looking around for a topic, and I know that Danny had just been come back from the UK, and I thought, well, here's the classic opportunity for us to get the score pad out and do a bit of a contrast and compare. How well do the Poms scrub up when it comes to things like scallops and scampi? Or are we completely put in the shade when it comes to courgettes or potatoes? I don't know. What is it about British and Australian food, and where are the major divides and where are the wins? And that seemed to me the perfect topic. And Danny was sporting enough to say, yep, I'm in for it. And she joins us now with a little checklist. G'day, Danny.
G'day, David. I'm more than up for it. I think in Australia we sometimes think about English food as I don't know, those overcooked veggies and dry roasts and, you know, what's brown sauce anyway?
But yeah, brown sauce, that's just wonderful, isn't it?
It's great. But I was over there, you know, drinking 13 cups of tea and just started thinking about some of the things that are actually so delicious in England. And one of them was strawberries. So it was really strawberries that sent me on this merry path of, I suppose, resurrecting British food in my own mind. The strawberry was transporting.
Really?
Just delicious. Yes. And I kept eating them wherever I went through England, through Wales, and even over across to Ireland. Strawberries that you could buy by the roadside, and they were just the most strawberry-ish strawberries you'd ever eaten.
I suppose that's why Enid Blyton goes on about the lashings of strawberry jam here, because the English, you know, the UK do strawberries very well. So what is it about if you did a blind taste test, how would you differentiate the British strawberry and the Australian strawberry?
Just intensity. The sweetness, the strawberry from tip to toe, you know, not that sort of sad white bit. I mean, and I buy strawberries from farmers markets here and there. We do some good strawberries, but there was nothing that was quite as 100% strawberry as the strawberries that I was eating there.
If you get before we go through the list and do a bit of a check off here, we should if you've got any theory about the British and Australian food when it comes to, you know, what are some of the triumphs and what are some of the disasters on either side of the ledger, give us a ring on 1300 222 774, or text us with your culinary theories from the drunken curry to that beautiful browned shrimp off the barbie. What are your theories when it comes to the food of both cultures? That's 0437 774 774. Before we get down to the checklist, Danny, we should talk about some of the beautiful names of the British table.
I would have to say that I think the British do food names better than we do. I mean, posset. I posit posset for you. Isn't that a great word?
It's a wonderful word, but I associate posset with that kind of regurgitated glunk that a young baby brings
well,
back.
Well, you know what? There might be a reason for that, because it is a citrusy set cream. So I suppose in the wrong hands it could turn into something a little vomitous. So, but in its proper form, it is a delicious, easy dessert. So, and it's a great word. I have to bring up Spotted Dick.
You have to, yeah.
One has to when one's talking
contractual great obligation there.
Indeed. So a suet pudding studded with raisins. So Spotted Dick. The raisins being the spot. I don't know where the other part comes from.
Where does Richard come into it?
I don't know. He must have invented it. I think that's a good one. What else do we have? Welsh rarebit. That's a beautiful classic. So a sort of a milky mustardy cheese on toast concoction. So
I reckon that's just a posh way of saying cheese on toast.
Well, it is. And apparently it was, you know, the Welsh couldn't afford rabbit, so they made do with cheese. But, I mean, I think cheese and rabbit, I mean, what is more expensive anyway?
Yeah. So. And then you've got, toad in the hole?
Is yeah, right? Toad in the hole is beautiful. So sausages in a sort of bread bake. I mean, great name. I don't know. I've never looked at a sausage and thought, goodness me, you look remarkably like a frog, but perhaps others have.
And another thing that comes up in crosswords a lot is a fool.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's a full?
Well, that is a very light aerated pudding. And my mum, who actually is from England, made a rhubarb full, and we used to think that was just the silliest name for a dessert, but didn't stop us eating it.
A rhubarb full. I guess, come on, we do some great names too. You know, what about smashed avo? That get more Aussie.
Yeah, smashed avo is pretty good, and I don't think they throw shrimps on the barbie like we do or are supposed to do. I think that they crisps, I think, is a superior word for the cold potato chip, because we just get confused, you know, what sort of chip is it?
That's true. At least that straight away there's clarity there.
Yeah.
Did you actually, you know, indulge in the crisp culture of the UK? Because they do love their crisps.
They do love them. I think when sipping on a warm pint, one is obliged to have a crisp or two. But it's, yeah, I know that they've got some wild and wacky flavours. But no, I have to say, I was really going for the strawberries.
Okay, now this is, we're getting lots of controversial verdicts coming through here, Danny. And I'm going to, you're going to have to play the Pommy advocate here, I'm afraid. If you want to join the text-a-thon, then it's 0437 774 774. We've got Brian from Venus Bay could only describe a two-month trip to England where basically it was pub food fare as stodge and boring, says Brian. You're here to contest that claim, Danny?
Oh, look, I think there's certainly boring food in Britain, as there is in Australia. But I think one thing that we definitely do better is food from a variety of different countries. Like, we are such a multicultural country and we get used to eating different food from one day to the next, different cuisines. Whereas I think the food in Britain is by and large more homogenous. So certainly, you know, they've got great waves of immigration from the Indian subcontinent, so they do a great curry, but perhaps don't have the variety that we have here.
Lots of love for the English jams, and which goes back to that strawberry idea, and berries in particular. The UK does berries very well.
Yeah.
Relishes and chutneys by the same token. Yeah, the whole idea of the condiments and those, just lots of little sort of surprises in cute jars.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that too.
And pretty good at, says here, prawn-flavoured crisps. Oh, how I miss the, gosh, the sense of bringing up some nostalgia here. And Scotch eggs.
Oh, yeah, the Scotch egg is great. So, I mean, a perfect picnic food. I think the British do food that's, you know, that you can pick up easily very well, and that's with the Cornish pasty with its sort of built-in handle with that thick ribbon of pastry is very clever and does have a practical purpose. So it was a handle that the miners could take down, like they could pick them up like that. And apparently also because their hands are often covered in, you know, lovely things like arsenic, they could then eat it by holding that seam and then throw it away.
It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, too, they often divided it with a sort of vegetable end and a meat end. So they could sort of alternate. I'm talking now about a Cornish pasty. I've moved on here.
Yeah.
And that's the idea that you could have this sort of square meal essentially in a triangle and work either end of the shape.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's great.
Hey, but I'm learning a whole lot here. I'm learning that gravy stuffing balls with gravy, awful binding. We've got the warm pint. It doesn't exist anymore, says Jerry. Apparently that since I was there, they've discovered that there is such a thing as freezing or, you know, putting
refrigeration.
Yeah,
okay.
They're moving along there. Yeah, and the other thing too is it's always crops up in most of those sort of noir police procedurals. They're off for a curry. Did you manage to try some Indian food while you were in the UK?
Yeah, definitely.
And how does it measure up against the Indian cuisine here in Australia?
I mean, it's good. I was staying near Birmingham for a while, and Birmingham's particularly known for its balti, so more of a northern Pakistani style wokt curry almost. And I mean, that's great. So I think you do get specialists in different kind of Indian or subcontinental cuisines that we perhaps don't see here as much. I suppose the freshness of some of our Indian food, the lightness, I think actually, you know, there is a case to be made for the Australian versions.
Another text has come in on 0437 774 774 saying the Brits are good at making, this word stodgy and rich foods that don't rely on fresh ingredients. The Australians are better at underappreciating high quality food and opting for the drive-through instead. So in other words, we're wasting the largesse that we have in this country.
Yeah, we do have a bounty in produce, but I think the English are rediscovering the bounty that they've got. So I think is a lovely thing to see. I think convenience food was such a big thing in most of the Western world through the last century. And I think a lot of cultures are going back to the freshness and eating produce when it's at its best.
Time is coming up to 20 past 2 o'clock. David Astall here, chatting with Danny Valent about the idea of the divide between UK and Australian food. And in fact, this is another, I've just learned about possets, and I'm also learning another thing here. Another texter has come in with the idea of a Banoffee pie. Have you come across that, Danny?
Yeah. Now, is that in English? Because I relate that to more to the US. It's a banana pie. Mm-hmm. I would have been looking for that in American diners more than in English, but perhaps I don't know its original heritage.
Possibly not. I'm looking. It looks like a hybrid between banana and coffee. Is that such a thing?
Yeah, toffee.
Toffee. Okay, yeah. Banana and toffee.
Yeah, delicious. I'll eat it in any country.
Where is that anonymous text? If you want to send us in some Banoffee pie, we're more than prepared to put our name down for science. Linda from Tyab has said that the Melton Mowbray pork pie was almost worth travelling over to England just for that.
I mean, the pork pie is a beautiful pastry, so just beautiful pork, and they do a nice pig over there with nice jellied meat. Oh, it's delicious and very sturdy, talking about square meals. one thing I will say, I would say the British definitely do road stop food so much better than us, like 100% better. So to be driving down the highway, or the motorway, pardon me, mm-hmm. and to have a variety of salads, great sandwiches, really good snack food. Here we're still stuck in, hot dog and chip land. It's very depressing.
It's a good point, actually. Yeah, that all those service stops along, the main highways, it's just basically the Bain-Marie, sort of reheats, isn't it? It's pretty grim.
You go there, it's bountiful.
Yeah, that's the, okay. So tick in the column
tick
there.
For there. Yes.
Another one here. Now, this is actually really surprised me. I was looking at because this caused a complete fever on Facebook over the weekend when this sort of argument was put about, and there was a lot of encouragement and support for the oysters in the UK, the Essex oysters. Now, I would never have associated the UK with kind of being a rich oyster culture, but apparently,
I suppose it's an island after all, and the shellfish are beautiful, so oysters definitely, scallops as well, and also coming back to good words, winkles, so little cockles and winkles and
cockles
all those
and winkles
things.
And jellied eel.
Yeah, so little snails. So, delicious and seasonal and very appreciated. I suppose that is one thing where England is quite a small country, or the British Isles. They're not big places, but a lot of passion and a lot of regional passion for particular ingredients.
Well, that's actually another good point, is that, how well it seems to me that the British Isles do regional food, probably more than Australia. That idea that you were travelling around, there were more sort of, there was, parochial and peculiar dishes that were offered to you.
Yeah, I'm sure that the Essex person will love the Essex oysters and, they'll taste the difference.
Now, anonymous texter, I'll take this in good faith that the Banoffee pie, and all sorts of spelling here, so excuse the pronunciation, is an Irish traditional banana pie. There you go. So maybe there's some.
Like those, the banana plantations of Ireland.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. The traditional banana pie of Ireland, apparently. Treacle tart, Jen from Rosanna, recalling those with
give
fondness.
Give that to me. Send that in, please.
And the Jaffa cake biscuit.
Oh, I grew up on those. So my English grandmother and I would play many a game of cribbage over Jaffa cakes and tea. So, yes.
And what was the? But was that the food that took you back? When there is this idea of nostalgia so closely associated with food, if you kind of had to, choose one dish, or what was it that really brings you back to those days of growing up?
Look, I think it'd be the scones, the jam, and the cream. So the beautiful cream, like gorgeous dairy in general. So clotted cream, beautiful scones, preferably baked with a grandmother, jam, going back to those berries, and a lot of nostalgia. And it's that occasion, isn't it?
It is. And Brian from Miamir, you are so – I have this absolutely closet obsession and love of mushy peas. Mushy peas are just not done in Australia.
I know. Why don't we do that? I love mushy peas as well. And, in fact, I had a superlative version of mushy peas on this particular trip outside of Manchester with a fish pie. So a fish pie plonked over some mushy peas, and I was by myself and I was in heaven. I could not have been happier. It was lucky no one was with me, because they were not getting one little bite.
Yeah, the fork poised. In fact, it does go very well with seafood. We've got Yummy coming in from mentioned Yorkshire pudding. Of course, we haven't even thrown that in there. The Olivers at Roadhouse, another one. The wonderful seafood in Scotland, says Jerry. So obviously had a great trip, Jerry. So much to talk about. It's we've really opened up a can of jellied worms here, Danny.
We have. No, there's a lot to love about it. And of course, I feel like England's, it's weird. I think England won.
I think they did pretty well. There was a lot of affection. Maybe some of that's from recent trips or nostalgia. I'm not sure. And bear in mind, some of these were anonymous. And I do know that Jo Woods is our producer, and she is a devoted Pom at heart. I reckon she might be sending some
of
these through.
She could be stacking the board.
Anyway, thanks for coming in. I think we actually have to give the rights to the UK. They did beat us, so, you know, it's the same as the Ashes and the rugby. I'm getting sick of this.
Yay, blighty.
Thanks a lot, Danny.
Thanks, David.
Danny Valente coming in, our food and food writer expert here on Afternoons. Just clearing it up about all that reputation and notoriety that the UK has attracted is ill-deserved.